Good evening, everybody. This is Jeff Preisser, author of the book Get Rich Cheating, Man About Town, if that town is whatever town I'm in. You're listening to Cheater and the Rude on the Progressive Radio Network. My co-host, Lee Papa, is the Rude Pundit. You can find him on the rudepundit.blogspot.com. He's not here right now. I'm in the middle of a tweet. I timed everything poorly. I was about to tweet, say, hey, listen to me right now. So all of you listening right now, listen to me right now. We are on the Progressive Radio Network. I forget what our slogan is now here. It's we're awesome. Turn us on and learn things about the future. And that's what I hope you will discover here at PRN. All right, and Cheater on the Rude. There's a lot going on. I don't know where to focus here. As a cheater, I feel like this is a week to maybe talk about some of the cheating in the news. You know, the things that are going on in D.C., the Chuck Hagels, the John Kerry's, the immigration bills, the Marco Rubio twisting himself into a pretzel so that one side sees the salt and one side sees the dough. He could really use some sort of Escher-esque consultant who could teach him how to be multiple things, multiple people at the same time, while also twisting time itself into a knot that he was unable to unravel, because even the architect of a knot cannot unravel a knot that is so perfect. You know, so that in the future, 2016, we would not be able to look at the past and see the truth. You know, but politics, they're always good at masking time through the paint of, there's a word here. Masking time through the paint of desire isn't right. It feels like something from bad soap opera, but it's not really what our politics has become. You know what, again, we call our politics pro wrestling. I'm calling it the sticky stuff on the back of tape that you mask time with. But I'm going to get to some of that, maybe. In the interim, let's just keep it really basic. Let's keep it really raw. Let's keep it about what matters in life, and that is money and athletic glory. It's been a good week for the cheaters in the world, sports in particular. Every week's a good week for cheaters in every world. But this week was a lot of fun. Alex Rodriguez, my guy, in the sense that I just think he's a terrible person, proved yet again that it doesn't really matter what I think and what kind of person he is, because he's really a different species. For those of you who don't know, he was on a list obtained, I guess, by MLB or by the press. Really, what does it matter now? It's out there that says he's been using steroids from 2009 to the present. It wasn't steroids. It was HGH, whatever. Banned substance, even though back in '00-something, he said that he had stopped, like admitted he'd used it in the past and said he stopped. And somebody asked a question of me, does he have any credibility left? And to my response is, who cares? He doesn't have any credibility. He has money. You know what I mean? Like, what does he care about credibility? What does he care whether I think he's a bad person or you think he's a bad person? Like, people that get rich cheat. And I know that's what I talk about. People that do that, they become a different mental and psychological species than the rest of us. They no longer are people as we have defined them through years of literature and social interaction and sort of the essence that we are taught when born into a vulnerable situation, having to rely on a family, both of peers and elders, and then raise a family. That just raw, instinctive, basic human situation teaches you about the value of having other people care for you and caring for other people. But cheaters are a whole different species. They realize all of that doesn't matter. I mean, it simply doesn't matter if you're liked by everybody or by anybody. Like, look, you're going to get liked by somebody, especially if you've got millions of dollars, which Alex Rodriguez and Lance Armstrong and Ray Lewis and the cheaters in other industries, they got their money. Right? They may have people think that they're a terrible person. They may themselves even think they're terrible people, which I think Lance Armstrong does. But out there will still be love that they can buy. Look, even Hitler got laid. Even Hitler got laid. Most people didn't like Hitler. He still got laid. And really, what matters? What most people think? The commenters on the internet of world history? Or the people that you're with, the people that you can touch and actually talk to. You never got laid. Alex Rodriguez gets laid. And whether it's about sex or about love or about affirmation or just having a person or a painting of a half-centaur, half-self-portrait that tells you that you are the best, you are okay, you are passable. Whatever your standard is, you need to get through your day. Those people have them. And they realize it doesn't come from the court of public opinion. It doesn't come from morality as we have defined it through the eons. It comes from whatever the hell they want. It comes from the almighty dollar, not the almighty God. And that's why when people ask me, how can these people, these cheaters, do these things? Don't they care what people think? No. They don't want to be like the rest of us. Want to be liked. That's a basic kind of core. We want to be liked because we know someday we might break a leg, we might have a disease, we might be old, we might need other people to care for us. That's the selfish drive for why we care about other people, or why we care that other people like us, rather. We want to be liked. That's why, you know, we try so hard to be liked. That's why we're on Facebook and Twitter and Prozac, because we want to be liked. Cheaters don't care. You know, cheaters, they understand. In their world, there's, you know, nobody there that's a bridge over troubled water. They will buy a team of people to build a bridge. And they don't care if it's shoddy construction. They don't care what the people make as a wage. If they go over it, it can crumble behind them on top of the workers. They have bought that bridge. There's no bridge over troubled water. There's no footprint in the sand. It's like they say there's no I in team. Well, there's also no we in rich. And this is what the cheaters have concluded. Now, I'm not saying they've come to the right conclusion. In fact, I would argue they've come to the wrong conclusion. I would argue that we shouldn't be completely selfishly driven, and that shouldn't be the only reason we want human interaction. But even if it is, you need to recognize that at the end of the day, your money, your bridge-building ability means nothing if people won't help you. If people intentionally sabotage the bridge. And I think that, you know, we saw it with Alex Rodriguez. He doesn't care. He kept on going back. And the other thing about a guy like A-Rod, besides not caring if people like him, because he's going to be getting laid like Hitler, kind of ironic, you know, Hitler, Lance Armstrong, what do they have in common? Think about it, fellas, I'll give you a hint. They each have one nut. That really wasn't a hint. That was an answer. But really, what's the difference in this age of cheating? Hint, answer, just take the SATs. Who can tell who's got what? Number two pencil. Number two, yeah, because you shit on it. All right, I lost that sort of nonsense. People like A-Rod, people like Bernie Madoff, I think what happens is they cheat a little bit. And they get away with it. They cheat a little bit more, they get away with it a little bit more. And they think, oh, the rules don't apply to me. I figure it out. I'm what all the movies growing up taught me. I'm what all the parables always said. I am the guy that pushes the witch into the oven in her gingerbread house. Yeah, it all comes back to that Hollywood movie, Hansel and Gretel. And they realize to themselves, they can just keep doing it. It doesn't matter. There's no consequences. And eventually they get so far down the road, they get so deeply covered in lies and deceptions and cheating that they've got nowhere to go. Now, a guy like Lance Armstrong, you can see, he had to quiet others. He had to, like, expand beyond just cheating to, you know, create sort of a criminal syndicate where he would force people to keep silent or to toe the line. And I think ultimately the reason why he reacts differently to the cheating than a Bernie Madoff or an A-Rod is because he hurt so many people. Like, deep down, you know, he respects the cyclist. He wanted to be a great cyclist, and he ruined other cyclists' careers by forcing them to keep silent or punishing them. You know, he brought so many other people pain directly. Now, Bernie Madoff brought people pain when it collapsed. A-Rod brings people pain because every time I see his little face, I want to punch him, and I can't punch him, and so that rage builds up inside of me, and then suddenly, like, in 10 years, I'll probably have some sort of colon cancer because of all the rage of not punching A-Rod that I have. But those are indirect rage-inducing actions. Lance Armstrong was direct, and that's why I think an additional thing that added on to his sort of feeling devastated. Like, he feels like he's a piece of crap. A-Rod doesn't feel like he's a piece of crap. A-Rod's like, well, I just kept doing it. You know what? What's A-Rod thinking now? Oh, I'm busted. You mean I don't have to go through the humiliation of being thumped from the lineup in the playoffs? I don't have to, like, trot out there like a piece of broken down meat? Like, maybe there'll be a tough breakup, but I can just kind of scoot off, or whatever the end game is for him. He's got a lot of money, and he's got historical moments in time when he was considered one of the greatest. So the Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong won, what, seven? I forget. Well, many Tours de France. And he has those moments. He has that moment in time. And if, again, Marco Rubio's, you know, Escher pretzel of time is any evidence, time is not linear. So at any moment, those guys can travel to that moment, time, that dot on the seven-dimensional matrix of the universe and be the greatest there ever was and be a champion. They can be a half-man, half-centaur if that's what they want, because they've got that in the memory bank. Let me ask you this question, and all of you have different answers. You can call in here. I don't remember what the number is. Go to PRN.FM. If you're there listening right now, it's on there. It's like 888, lots of eights and fours. Would you rather be Alex Rodriguez / Lance Armstrong right now, or yourself right now? Now, let me flesh that question out a little bit. If we all ultimately never completely achieve our dreams and our delusions, but on some level either come to an acceptance or achieve great things and are willing to accept them and their greatness, even in comparison to the next level up of greatness we might have achieved, if on some level we all die, we all, you know, become old, we all pass our primes, would you rather have that prime be a blaze of glory? Would you rather end up at that point after your potential has petered out, where you have gotten millions of dollars and records, and even if they literally take away your trophies, you still have won those moments? It's a sadly fair question. It's a question I think that most people don't, you know, they know what the answer should be. I think you know what answer you want to tell your children. But is that really the answer that you want? I mean, is that really, like, would you really rather be you or Alex Rodriguez? Now, that's a whole ball of wax there. But the calculation that they will make, much like the calculation that a Ted Cruz will make or a Marco Rubio will make, or I mean, these political leaders that say these outlandish things they know are horrible, but they're doing them in their own way of cheating, as their own means to an end, and that's to achieve more power and fame. The same reason why I see these women, like, going out there trying to, like, prove there's voting fraud, like this woman in, I want to say, Florida, Tennessee, somewhere, who got busted for voter fraud because she tried to prove there was voter fraud, or this woman who just compared Obamacare to the Holocaust. Like, they're trying to get fame by being completely outrageous, like a Sarah Palin, I never, a Michelle Bachman, believing that by passing through the stupid, by passing through the wrong, they can achieve the fame. All these people make the calculation that doing the wrong thing to get to a place that they believe is the top of the pyramid of American culture, let's say. I don't want to judge worldwide right now. I already taken on a lot rhetorically while walking a tightrope and baking a Escher pretzel with one half salt, one half dreams. If we assume that they decide that they're willing to do something quote unquote wrong to get to a place that they believe is quote unquote right, then why don't more people make that judgment? Do they just not have the tools to make those wrong decisions? I guess what I try to paint, and I painted through the cheating book and the cheating story, is And people make these simple decisions, and they don't always consciously make that right, wrong choice, but they make a little step. They put their toe in. Oh, you know what? I just want to get 95 instead of a 90 on this test. I need to see what she's. Oh, I didn't get caught. They do a little bit, and eventually they get to the other side of wrong, into this place of power and prestige and fame, or whatever it is they believe is where they deserve to be. And others see that example. Maybe we will become a nation of cheaters. Maybe we have become a nation of cheaters. Maybe these are just a few outliers. Yeah, I like to think it's just a few outliers, and I like to call them on what they're doing. But what's frightening is that you can understand their calculation. Yes, there's a psychosis, because frankly, whether you want to believe what they would consider naively, or I would consider justifiably, that there's a community sense of the universe, much like atoms on their own cannot create anything of great mass, but when come brought together, they can create beauty beyond imagination, that individual people on their own achieve nothing, but when brought together can build cities in the sky. You do not become someone who is selfish and does not care about other people. But even if you are selfish, you realize the value of other people beyond just your own selfishness, for the greater good, to be a part of something beautiful, something of vast design. And yeah, I use design intentionally to reference all those people that use intelligent design as a way to appeal to those that are afraid of the real universe in order to achieve power. And really, aren't we seeing right now that the Republican Party is sowing, reaping what they've sown? I like to say the Republican Party is being devoured by the Frankenstein monster of their own creation. The short-sighted goal of winning elections by pandering to base instincts, whether it's pandering to the base instincts of the extreme religious, or pandering to racism, or pandering to what they call traditional values of gender roles or sexuality. By pandering, they have created a generation of people that believe the lies they were fed in order to get the vote. The lies were there just to get the votes or the money. Right? But you hear that enough, and it becomes your belief system. There are people that, there are doctors that are running for office. I forget who it was. Some guy, who doctor, who believes in like the legitimate rate. Body can shut it down. If I had more hands, I'd be Googling, but I don't have my hands free with me. What was his name? Not the guy that ran, not Aiken, but it doesn't matter. The point is, you know, to move this country forward, we need to have fact and logic-based discussions, and that's not possible if a growing number of people do not accept the same facts. Like facts, I hesitated there because I didn't want to. I want to say are wrong or don't get the facts, but I also want to be open-minded. But you can't continuously be open-minded. And ultimately, the weakness of the progressive is accepting all viewpoints and always putting them in the melting pot of their idea-generating machine. But really, you can't do that all the time, right? You can't. At some point, you have to say no. That is poison. No, you're wrong. Like, don't bog us down with your nonsense talk. You're let's arm kindergartners, and let's not only make abortion illegal, but let's force everyone to get pregnant by this guy. I'm running for Senate. Eventually, you have to cut off the crazy ideas in order to move forward. But the crazy ideas that become the mainstream ideas. I mean, you think about it's the genius of the Republican Party to essentially stake out negotiating positions that are so extreme that the left, the Democrats, the progressives, will have to work so hard just to almost reach status quo and consider that a victory. You know what I mean? Like, pull us way to the right. We'll fight really hard to get not quite as far to the right. Then pull us way to the right, and we'll fight really hard to get not quite to the right. Like, we, you know, people compare Obama to Reagan for, you know, political, climate, blah, blah, blah reasons, but in the end, Obama's policies may be to the right of Reagan, or at least what's implemented. What he wanted to do, I don't know. That's always a frustration of the far left. Yeah, I think the far left, just like the far right, is delusional that they get everything they want, but you'd like them to, I think they want Obama to at least ask for the extreme before caving into the middle, rather than starting in the middle or just a little to the left of the middle. Because, you know, they see the extreme negotiating tactics of the right. They don't like it. I guess my point is, it all comes down to how much you're willing to lie, cheat, and steal in order to make your point. And then if everyone's doing it, do you have to do it to stay alive? And stay alive is the wrong word. Do you have to do it to get anywhere? I mean, if one side is willing to lie and say, you know what I really want is I really want all the women to change, in order to negotiate with those people, do you have to go, you know what I really want? I want all the women to put chains on all the men. Now, I would admit, like, I would go to the club where they had both of those things there. That would be a fun time. And then, you know, I would try either one. You know, I think I'd probably feel bad about one and I'd feel naughty doing the other. But the point is, that's not a healthy way to live. It's fun for, you know, a couple hours a night, a weekend. That's no way to run a country or a universe. And that's why I don't think that God is involved. I just think, this week, where they were talking about the study where staying on sports, some percentage of people believe that God does have a stake in the outcome and pays attention to sporting events. And I found that amusing for a couple reasons. Number one, I like to think that if that were the case, if God cared about professional sports or amateur sports, that at some point Fred Phelps would be protesting outside Jacksonville football games with signs that say God hates Jags. Yeah. And I also find it implausible. Implausible is not right. If God is involved in sports, as so many people like to think, I find it delicious that the biggest sporting event of the Western world, and you know what? We got a World Cup out there that probably dwarfs it all, and then other events. But the Super Bowl is being played in New Orleans between San Francisco and Baltimore. New Orleans drunkenness, San Francisco homosexuality, Baltimore at the wire. All of these things are being trumpeted and put on the biggest stage for people to look at and glorify. That's God's plan. This is greatness, God says. What are the teams of the different eras? New England from Boston. Sinners. New York Yankees, I hate to say it because I hate them. Sinners. All of them. Montreal Canadiens. Oh, have you been to St. Catherine Street in Montreal? It's nothing but strip joints and jazz bars, and there's a Hard Rock Cafe. And the beat would go on. San Francisco had a dynasty. I suppose Pittsburgh and Dallas also had good runs, but even Dallas is pretty much just a big strip joint. You know, if God really was involved and God really wanted to send the message that people believe he's sending, why isn't it like Liberty University versus Oral Roberts in every championship? Why? Because God doesn't think the way people that think they know how God thinks. Or so I think. So, we've just got a few minutes left. And I'm going to say a few things. Number one, in about 5 minutes, stick around up here and listen to the final edition Radio Hour. It is our one-year anniversary, February 2nd, 2012. We started up, this is January 31st, it's close enough. And we're doing some great stuff. I'm really proud of how we've evolved. We started out at a very high level, and we've continued to grow. And I hope you guys will listen. I hope you guys will tell your friends. Number two, if you'd like to hear me in a non-rambling way, but actually focused and talking about cheating, presenting the satirical thing. I'll be in Washington, D.C. on February 9th, next Saturday, 8 o'clock at 6 and I. If you go to my website, getrichcheating.com, or Facebook it, you'll find it. I'd love to see anybody there. If you are a listener to Cheater on the Rude, shoot me an email or a tweet, and I'll get you a discount ticket, a two-for-one deal. And there are a few other things. As many of you know, I've been working for the War Room on Kern TV, and that is going away at some undetermined point. So, if you or yours need a comedy show or a writer, let me know. I know that was terribly hoary, but you know, it doesn't hurt now and then to be a whore, especially after 27 minutes of just rambling. Everyone's like, wow, I definitely want to subject my family and friends to that. So, you know, a lot of people cheat. We shouldn't focus on the sporting scene. It's easy to see with the performance-enhancing drugs there. It's easy to see the ways the rules are broken because the rules are clear. But ironically, in a setting where we've had a guiding document for 200-and-something years of the Constitution, and the rules should be clear, it is the vagueness of that document and the interpretation since, and people's ability to spin their actions and motivations into whatever they want, that has allowed greater cheating at the political level. And I think maybe that's why it inspires me, because it's so absurdly ludicrous, the hypocrisy, doublespeak, the lack of faith in one's own humanity. It's delightful. I just can't get enough. And I can't get enough of coming here and telling you about it. This is, you know, a fun place. It's the PRN. Listen, all the shows here are different. Sometimes this show is different. Sometimes it's just me. Sometimes it's me and Lee. Sometimes it's just Lee. You never know what you get. In fact, most times we don't know what you're going to get. But we know that you are good people. And we know that you're going to check us out, Cheater on the Brood, on Facebook. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeff Chrysler. You can follow Lee at Rude Pundit. Let's pick in some music, Giselle. This has been another episode of Cheater in the Rude. Most of this cheater being rude. Ha ha, ding. But I think you guys can tune in. Go check out websites or whatnot and find out what we do. And tell us a story. What about the night?